Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Midwest Cattlemen feature story interviews. This is the breeder profile from our January 2025 issue featuring Randy McIntyre of McIntyre Red Angus.
So let's just kind of get some background. How did your operation get started, and where exactly are you located?
We're located about halfway in between Oklahoma City and Amarillo. And just I've been here all my life at Sweetwater, Oklahoma, and just we've farmed and ranched, my dad did, and then whenever I guess in 05 I went out and bought me some registered or bought some Red Angus bred heifers, and at the time there wasn't any around in this part of the country, very many, and we we Crystal and I calved them out, and then we ended up selling them and buying some more, and then we ended, and then that's whenever we bought the second group. We bought some registered heifers in that, and that's pretty well where we got started. So,
Okay.
and we put cows together. We raised a lot of them, but then we've kind of been pretty selective on what we bought here and there as far as females, and real selective on bulls. So anyway, and then we done it. We kind of done it private treaty I guess about from 08 until 2012, and then in 2012 is whenever we decided to start having a production sale in the spring.
Okay. So, what kind of environmental advantages, what kind of challenges do you have in the region around Sweetwater?
Oh, we'll have we've been this last summer was pretty droughty. We had I mean we didn't we had a pretty good spring, but we didn't then we got hot and dry and through the summer, and then we got a little bit, we farm about 1500 acres of wheat, and we got a little bit of moisture to get the wheat in, and then it turned off dry and windy, until I guess until the first part of November, and then we got some good moisture in November, and it'll stay with us, and we'll be able to grow some early grass. It's we got about 10 inches, so it'll
Oh.
but I'd say getting we don't have to have a lot of rain here, but it's just kind of it if we can get it at the right time, we can get by pretty good. So
Well, that sounds great. Here in Missouri, it just depends on the day.
yeah, that's I know y'all got quite a bit of humidity, and stay pretty wet, don't you? Most of the
Well,
time.
It's just unpredictable. We can
Yeah.
have wet, and we can be dry in 2 weeks after that. It's really,
Yeah.
they say if you don't like the weather, stick around, it'll change. And that's really
Oh,
true.
that's about the way it is here, to be honest with you, 'cause but we're pretty fortunate. I mean, we've got several, we're pretty diversified as far as, we've got some improved grasses, and then we've got some native, and just, we, it there's times that, if it's just depending on what's going on that year, but there's between all of it, there's something that normally does pretty good. So as far as if the improved grasses aren't done, I mean, they'll really, if we get the right kind of moisture, they'll really produce good, because we can fertilize and spray the weeds, and they'll really put off the forage. But so we're pretty fortunate.
Sounds like you're blessed.
Yep.
So, what's Sweetwater famous for besides McIntyre Red Angus?
I don't know. It's pretty small. It's just a little rural. It's just kind of a little old little wide spot in the roads, what a lot of people used to say, but it's getting there. It's getting smaller. It's not near as wide as it used to be, but So
is
anyway,
that
it's
you said you've been there all your life? So that's your
yeah.
folks were there and your grandparents both?
Yeah, my mom was raised here, and my dad and my papa used to have he started the Dodge Chrysler dealer there in Sweetwater years ago, and sold cars and pickups and cars. And then when my dad got out of high school, they started selling Massey Ferguson tractors. And then we lost my papa. He is when he was 50, and then my dad took it over, and so they sold cars, pickups and cars, and tractors and implements and what have you. And then he sold out in 89, I believe it was. So, and then but it's that dealership. It's not there anymore. It's just about all we have left at Sweetwater is a little convenience store and a school.
Okay. Well, tell
So.
me about your family now. Help me understand the role that each one is playing there at the ranch, and tell me about your family.
Oh, my son Rance, he's 16, and he helps us a bunch with the day-to-day chores and working calves, working cattle. I mean, it don't just kind of whatever we're doing, he can do it. And then and farming, just whatever needs to be done, he's a really good hand at just whatever. And then my daughter, she's a sophomore in college, and she goes to Weatherford, so she's not as around as much as she was. She'd help us whenever she was in high school and what have you. And then my wife, she does most of the bookwork, as far as the registrations and the transfers and what have you on the and whenever whenever we go to register our calves. And but Rance and I, we're the ones that usually weigh them and tag them and get all that whenever all the information whenever they're born, and keep track of the what they're out of and who their mother is, and take down all the information. So
So, are your
but and
kids
then
pursuing the ranching industry then?
yeah yeah I think so. I know Rance is sure interested in it, and Chloe, she's at college, so I mean, you don't ever know what I mean. She likes the insurance. She's working at the insurance agents, and she really likes that, kind of likes that. And I think she's going to try to get licensed, where she can sell insurance. And so I don't know. She might end up selling insurance, or no telling what. So I mean, but Rance has sure got a he's got a lot of interest in it. So he's been helping us as far as trying to select for different what we're breeding to, and kind of he's taken an interest in that, and what to he's got a really good eye for cattle. So but that's what
That
he
pays
has. So
off.
yes, it does. Yep, it sure does. But
So
that's
what?
and then my
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
then my uncle, he helps us some. He's just but he's getting older, so he don't get out and help on the day-to-day stuff as much as he used to, but he's still around. If we need a warm body or something, he's usually around. So
Is that your dad's brother?
yes.
So, you have a couple of sales a year. Is that how you exclusively market anymore? Is that your production sales, or do you market otherwise?
Yeah, we most of the bulls, we market them through the sale. We'll have a hand, have a few private treaty bulls. I'll have people call throughout the year, and we usually try to have something around to be able to sell them, have something for them to go through and pick a bull out or whatever. But mainly through the sales, and then we usually buy a bunch of commercial heifers off of our bull customers, and then we develop them through the winter, and then we'll AI them, and then we'll go through them, and we'll sell 50 to 100 open commercials, and then we'll sell about this year we sold about 100 bred heifers in the fall, and then we'll sell about 60 or 70 commercial pears in the spring. So we're doing that along with our purebred stuff as well. So kind of,
It sounded like
yeah.
you just started that fall event a couple of years ago.
Yeah, this was our second year for the
Okay.
fall sale. Yeah, we had just kind of been going through and selecting the bulls for the spring, and then we'd kind of keep the top end of the younger end of our calf crop over, and then we'd either market them throughout the year or and then 1 year we held them over and sold them as 2-year-olds. But I really, we've been doing the developing them heifers and selling them for several years, and I thought, well, instead of holding those bulls over to and selling them as 2-year-olds, we'd just try to market them in the fall and sell them as 18-month-old bulls, and then we sell our commercial heifers through the sale as well. So it kind of, it went together, because usually we got a younger end of our bull crop that, that's not, they're not ready to sell in the spring, because they're just 11 to 12 months old. So we went to holding them over and selling them as 18-month-old bulls in the fall. And it seemed to help. They're still good quality bulls as far as, they're just younger. So we wanted to be able to market them along, just like we do the bulls in the fall, in the spring. So,
Well,
and
and it
that's
sounds
worked out.
like I read in your catalog there where your sale management team had commented on your commercial roots that, that's how you're trying to grow the registered cattle is to be able to go out and work. And that they went on to say that you've remained successful all these years because you can fit a lot of different environments from hot, arid out in New Mexico to like our area, the fescue belt. So, how have you managed to address the genetic needs for customers from such diverse situations?
Oh, I mean, it's just, I mean, we're pretty, as far as we're pretty critical on our cows, as far as our what we pick for. I mean, they've got to be able to kind of, do what, work in our environment here. And I've talked to several different ones, and if you grow them bulls right and you don't push them real hard, and they, get them, when they, and like if your cows, if they'll, take care of theirself and do, pretty low maintenance, well, they're going to kind of work about anywhere you send them. So, but if you got, we don't, most of our cows, if they're very hard doers, that, we usually weed them out, because we don't, I mean, we want them to be able to perform here as well as everywhere else. So, and it's like I talked to one guy, from Missouri here before the fall sale, and he was questioning me about it, and it's like we were talking about our grasses, and he said that, on our grass in the summertime is kind of like y'all's in that fescue in the wintertime. The way he explained it to me, because, he said that, he said y'all, their grass usually, he said a lot of times it's better in the wintertime than it is in the summertime. So anyway, so when I said, well, I said, we're just kind of the opposite. I said, ours is better through the summer, and it gets tougher and harder. Harder for them to, there's just, it's not, don't have the nutrients in it in the wintertime as it does in the summer. So, but
Sure. So where do the majority
anyway,
of your customers come from?
no, there's a lot, here in Oklahoma and Texas, and then we've got several, we sell several bulls to some guys in New Mexico, and then we send some to Montana. But I'd say the majority of them right here around, Oklahoma, Texas. But would, you know, and then we send some, we'll, there'll be some guys come, you know, come down from Missouri and Arkansas and just a little bit everywhere. So
Okay.
we've sent them, and we've sent some, we've sent, last 2 or 3 years, we've sent a couple bulls to Canada. So.
Okay. So what's one unique way that you serve your customers no matter where they hail from?
I mean, oh, I don't know. I mean, it just, you know, I mean, I mean, we, you know, I mean, I don't know. We try to strive and do, you know, I mean, we help anybody that, you know, whatever their needs are, we try to help out if we can, you know, I mean, as far as customer service or you know, if they can't make the sale, well, we go through and we send, you know, we select some bulls that's kind of what they're looking for and just, you know, help them as much as we can. We, you know, I mean, and as far as, you know, transportation, we either take them or get them to them one way or another, you know, is what, I mean, we'll set up, get somebody to get them there or take them ourselves or just, we try to, you know, we really strive to, you know, good customer service, I guess is, you know, like, just like I said, just wherever they're at, we will do what we can to get, you know, take care of them.
So beyond the genetics, what kind of management strategies have you provided or have provided the greatest benefit to your operation and why?
I mean, you know, we try to be stewards of the land. I mean, we don't try to overgraze. I mean, we do quite a bit of rotational grazing, and that way we can let pastures rest, and then, you know, and then be on some pastures in the summertime and let them rest in the winter. You know, come off of them early enough to grow the grass back, and then we've, you know, we've started as far as our cows. You know, we used to just feed hay and buy cake, but we've started just mixing our own cow feed, and it's sure it's helped our help you know helped as far as the as far as what we're having to spend for feed, you know, through the winter, and then and it sure helped the cows too as far as their condition. So it's what we, I mean.
Okay. So you have put some on feed. I think that was also in your sale catalog where you mentioned having some calves on feed and then getting some of that feed efficiency data back. Do you plan to continue doing that? And how would you
Yes.
use that kind of information?
Oh, we'll use it. You know, I mean, we'll kind of, you know, the cattle that we've been buying, we know what bulls they're them, you know, those customers are buying, and you know, and we like to have that data just to see, you know, we, of course, we, you know, we do a, you know, we weigh them bulls when they go on test here, and we know what they, you know, when they come off test, we know what, you know, we have an idea of what they've gained on as far as average daily gain on them. And of course we scan our bulls for ribeye and marbling, and but, you know, I mean, that's all good, but you don't really know until you get the data back after you have a pen of calves that you've been sired by your bulls, and you go on feed and they kill them and grade them, and you kind of, I mean, that's the real data. I mean, as
Yeah.
far as, so if you have that, you can kind of, you know, if those cattle do well, and you know, on the bulls that we've been raising, well, then I guess it's kind of like this. I mean, I feel better about it as far as if making sure I'm making the right decisions as far as sires when it comes to breeding time or selecting for herd bulls or whatever. So.
And that comes back to that commercial mindset, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and that's our main. I mean, that's our been our bread and butter, as far as we've got some purebred guys that come and get some pick up some bulls for their purebred, some new genetics and stuff for their purebred herd. But the commercial guys is the one that's going to keep you in business. I mean, day in and day out. I mean, they're the ones that you got to sure enough take care of, because they're going to be there, year after year, and as long as you got a good product and they're getting along with them and selling, they're getting all they can out of their kid, their kids are doing good and get big for them. Well, that's their main goal, because they're selling pounds is what they are, if they're selling them off the cloth. So, but.
So if you had to pick one thing that your ranch would be known for, can you compartmentalize it and tell me one thing that you think you're known for that you want to be known for?
I don't, I mean, it's just, gosh, that's a tough one, but.
I get tickled with you. You have no problem talking about the cows. And then when I want to talk about you as the provider producer, you get real humble, and I respect that.
Yeah, I don't like to brag on myself a whole
You don't
lot, I
like to
guess.
toot your own horn, I can tell. But boy, I mean, you talk about the cows and they're glorious, but then when I talk about you.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Let's
So
look at that. You've done the work. You've gone from a handful of cattle to a couple hundred head that are, able to go to work wherever they're sold into. You've bred them right. You've raised them right. You're raising your family right. You've got a son who's interested in the industry and considering, pursuing it, probably because of everything he's learned from you. So there's a lot to be said for, McIntyre Red Angus. So this is your chance.
yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I don't know. I mean, we just, I guess just for customer service, I mean, and I mean, like I said, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to, that's a hard one. I mean, like I tell everybody, it comes to the sale and what have you, I try to get up and give a speech, and it's just hard for me to do it. But I can sit here and talk cattle and cattle with you all day long, just if we're, but anyhow, I don't, but no, I mean, we like to be known for, just, I mean, good cattle and just, for good, I mean, just good, honest people, it's here to work for the everyday folks, I guess. So.
There you go. I knew you had something. Oh, well, how about looking into the future? What new innovations, opportunities are you looking to pursue for McIntyre Red Angus in the next 1 to 3 years?
Oh, we've got we went out and here I guess a year ago this coming spring, and we Rance and I, we went to a sale up in Nebraska, and there was a bull in that sale that I was really interested in. And then a week or so before the sale, well, he ended up dying. And so when I got up there, I thought, well, I said, I want to see his mother. So we went, and they took me out to the pasture, we found that bull's mother, and then she had a really nice heifer calf on her, and we was driving through there looking, and it just, just different cows, just kind of looking at some of the calves that they had on the ground, and just kind of just snooping around, and there was another cow that really caught my eye, and we've been flushing both of those cows really hard, and we just were putting, we're flushing to different bulls and kind of going at it that, so we put like 40 something embryos in the other day in our fall cows, and then we're gonna put a bunch in the spring, and those cows are really good numbered. They're good, easy keeping, just phenomenal as far as udder quality and feet, and so we're really excited about them. I mean, we've flushed them to several different bulls, and then we're going to start back in Jan here after the first of the year, and we're going to get a pretty good bank of embryos put up on them so we can put them in this spring. And that's, I mean, you can do so much more with the, as far as the embryos, you can get several different bulls, you can flush them too, and we're doing some experimenting with some black bulls to get some, a total outcross deal. And because that's what, I mean, when you go to looking for something to, AI to or flush to right now, I mean, there's just not the in the Red Angus, there's just not a whole lot of, just sure enough. I mean, something that just really jumps out at you, I guess, that you'd want to use. I mean, it's got good numbers and good footed and got, still got a look to them, I mean, there's some good bulls there, but they, something that hadn't been used, really used up yet. So it's what we're after. I mean, I guess trying to, we're gonna go at it and try to create that outcross that's just like, kind of that everybody goes, wow, he's a, that's a stud. So, I mean, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but that's, we're after that. Sure enough, we're trying to strive for to get that sure enough elite, herd sire is what we're at.
Okay,
That's my goal. So,
I want to know
yeah.
how you go to a sale to buy a bull. Then you talk that guy into showing you his cows, and he sells you two of the heart of his herd. How'd you do that?
I don't. Oh, it was just, I've done business with them for several years, and I don't know. I just, we just, I went, I told, I just asked, I said, well, what do you want for? And, and then we was leaving, we was driving to a pasture, and I said, he kind of drove by her fast, and I said, what about that one right there? And he said, dang you, Randy. And I said, and we turned around and looked at her, and then I said, well, what do you want for him? And he told me, and I said, oh my gosh, and I just kind of, so I called Crystal, and we visited about it, and then we I ended up making a deal with him on them, and then we've got two heifer, they both had heifer calves on them, so we've got those, the daughters out of them, and then we'll have several calves out on the ground out of them this spring. So, or here coming, I guess they'll be coming here end of January, first February. So we're excited about it. They're pretty, they got unique breeding, and then they're just really, really good cows. I mean, they're out of one of the best breeders in the industry. So anyway, so
Would you
that's
like to give that person a shout out? Who did you buy them from?
the Peeper Red Angus out of Nebraska.
Okay.
So
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of good connections in the Red Angus business. Ah,
yes,
man, you've
ma'am.
done well. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to tell me about your ranch or your family or your Red Angus cattle?
Oh, I don't. Oh, Rance just told me, he told me, he said, you need to tell her about the embryos in the fall. So anyway, but oh, we had we had, like I said, we'd flushed them cat that, especially the 194 cow. We flushed her quite a little bit, and I had some embryos, and I told Graham, I said, what about, before the, when we were thinking about, getting everything ready for the sale, I said, "What about selling some embryos out of that one cow?" And he said, "Yeah," he said, "I think it'd be a good idea." So we ended up, and we sold three that was out of that 194 cow in a bull called Identity, and they were the highest selling embryos in the Red Angus bit in the industry this last year. Or I think ever. They were the highest selling embryos ever. So I think they bring 4,500, and then we sold some out of her and a bull called Hollywood, which was the high selling bull in the Red Angus breed. And the embryo, all the embryos together averaged a little over 3,300. So they was, that's what the Tate, the kid that I bought the cows off of, he texted me afterwards. He said, "Well, congratulations on selling the highest embryos in the Red Angus breed ever." So
Oh,
anyway,
wow.
so
Well, yes.
it was fun.
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh.